Amen. We thank God for today. We thank God for this week being, I think, the second to the last week of January. The month has gone so far, and yet this year seems to be on its own race. It was just like yesterday when we were all greeting ourselves, Happy New Year. Time waits for no one, and I'm glad that as the time goes by, we are getting closer to the coming of our Lord. That's what gladdens my heart. Thank you so much, Brother Andrew Perry, for this opportunity to speak to the people of God. I do not take that for granted, as I've always said. And so I thank you for this opportunity to speak to the people of God. Before we go on, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you for yet another time to be in your presence, for yet another time to open the sacred book, for yet another time to speak to your people. We say, blessed be your name, O Lord. I've been given the opportunity to speak for the course of this week, and yet I ask, what should I tell your people that they do not already know? And so, Lord, I pray that in the course of this week, that you would speak to our hearts, not by the intelligence of man, not by the superfluousness of words, but that you would speak to specific hearts that truly need you, that truly want to understand more of you, that even I myself will gain a lot more from you, O Lord, and that my spiritual needs will be met, as much as your people as well, Father. That every one of us here this day, who would wait upon you to hear, not out of itchy ears, but truly hear from the throne of the Father. Pray that we will be met with words that encourage, with words that lift up, with words that transform life, and that we will truly know the power that is in your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So I was wondering that what am I going to speak to people on? And during my wonder, I was struck by some specific verse or verses in the book of Genesis, and I think that also spanned through the entire book all the way to Revelation. And so I would like to take us on a journey which might not necessarily end in a day. We would speak about this for many days, and peradventure, as we go on, we would branch here and there, here and there, here and there, and we would be blessed. I believe so. We would be blessed. I want to speak on a title or a topic that I would call Invoke the Lord by Name. Invoke the Lord by Name. And I got this topic recently while I was reading the book of Genesis, like I said before. And it was a different translation of the Bible that I was using while reading that. I was using the Jewish Torah while reading that, so it rendered a specific verse differently. That's why I felt strongly in my heart to look into that verse and every other related verses of the scriptures. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into that name, and the righteous is saved. You know, when we say in the name of the Lord Jesus, things happen, right? But many times we hang our focus, our concentration on the name itself, while we lack some understanding of the image and likeness behind that name. I would explain. You know, we would not understand the privilege that we have been called to, because we have the name of Jesus as we have right now, and we just take the name, goes everywhere. Oh, in the name of Jesus, you want to fall down, you say, Jesus. Oh, we do not really know the privilege that we have, that we could actually have a name that we can call. We could actually have a name that we can call. That's on one hand, simply because we do not have an understanding of our history, right? And we also take for granted the name that we have been given. But it's never been so from the very beginning. It's never been so, right? If we think that it has always been like that, we're wrong in every way. It's never been so from the beginning. And the other side of it is that some of us have also taken that name so literally that we think the word Jesus, the word Jesus, is the name of God, and so, you know, no one else can bear the name, and many other things, right? As we know, as many people should know, that there are many Jesus in the Bible. So there is something that makes our Jesus different. There is something that makes him different. And we say it's the name, but there are many who bears that name in the Bible. But there's something specific that makes the name different for us. And that is what we want to search for, because the name is not literally J-E-S-U-S, because if we want to argue that, we would look at it from the perspective of what name was he bearing in those days. Because his name in those days was not J-E-S-U-S, right? It wasn't five-letter word. Let me put it that way. It was even six-letter word. Sometime it could actually be seven-letter words, right? Yeshua was his six-letter word. If it was going to be our Messiah, if you want to put the names together, it's going to be a whole lot of letters. And we don't call him Yeshua HaMashiach today. We call him Jesus Christ. If you go to India, they call him something different. In Japan, it's a different name entirely. But it still has all connection back to that root word or root name, which is Jesus. So I'm not emphasizing on that specific letters or specific sounds of what comprise his name. As we know that his name is Yeshua, but he is a Jew, or he was a Jew, let me put it that way. At least he was born in Israel. He was circumcised on the eighth day. And so being a Jew, there is usually a connotation to whatever name the persons bear. You would see that every single person in the scriptures, their name would always dictate their life. There are several examples that we can look at in the scriptures. Most importantly, in Genesis, you would see Noah, for instance. The meaning of Noah is comfort, right? And Seth, for instance, the meaning of Seth is establishment, like a replacement for something that has been lost. And so you would see that the name is quite significant in the scriptures, right? Not as we have it today. So what is the name of the Lord? In our journey for the search of his name, in our journey through this week, I believe, hopefully we can get to complete this before the end of the week and we pick up something else to encourage ourselves with. But in our journey of this week, we'll have to go back in time. I would address it in multiple ways. We would have to look back into history in multiple ways. We would handle what we call the antediluvian age, which is the age before the flood, right? So it's the 2000 years age before the flood, right? We would handle the post-diluvian age, but the immediate post-diluvian age, which is the age between after the flood and in the days of Abraham all the way to Moses. And we would handle the law and the prophet age, which is the days between the Moses and before the Messianic, the first Messianic return or appearance, which both of them would be 2,000 years altogether. And then we would then talk about our present grace age, which is the last 2,000 years. We're 2024 right now, so that should be around 2,002 years already. So we would look into those different sections. So today, I would hope that maybe we can cover the antediluvian age. Like I said, in this old study, we would touch on many things. Allow the Lord to lead us and help us to understand what he has for us today. Amen. So let's talk about the antediluvian age, right? This is the age from the gardening to the flood. I call it the gardening to the flood. So because the Lord created the garden for a man to tend and to till, and then all the way down to the flood, right? What was his name? What was his name during this period? The assumption that a name was already given since there was a mention of God said in the scriptures, especially in Genesis 1, the assumption that a name was already given to people is actually a wrong assumption. And the reason I said it's a wrong assumption is because the book of Genesis and many other books, especially the first few books of the scriptures, were written after the fact. What I mean after the fact is that they were written as a narration of a past event. An example of that as well would be in the book of Luke, when Luke was writing that the Holy Ghost came upon the child and also came upon Elizabeth. So the child was filled with the Holy Ghost. But we knew that the child could not have been filled with the Holy Ghost because at a point in time, the child actually preceded Jesus Christ. So Jesus had not died. He had not resurrected. And so the Holy Ghost had not been given. The child was filled with the Holy Spirit. That is not to say there were two different entities, right? No, The Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are one and the same, right? But the word Holy Ghost that was used there was not the right word at that point in time when that child was born. What was known was the Holy Spirit. It was after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we had the word Holy Ghost being used, because you don't have a ghost until there is a death. So it's the same way a lot of narrations of the past events usually happen. So if we think that God already gave a name in Genesis and say, well, my name is God, or my name is Elohim, or my name is Yahweh, that's not true, right? The word Yahweh appeared there because the person writing after the fact, right? So it was emphatically mentioning something. And we must understand the reason why it was mentioning Yahweh in those places, even though the name was not revealed. Because in his own day, there was a confusion that set in. That confusion is what we would try to trace, and we would try to understand why that confusion set in and what the Lord has done to us that is so special, so different. I'm really, 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 really happy about the name the Lord had given unto us, because we must understand the efficacy of that name, the preciousness of that name. It's so good. It's so good. So what was the name that Adam called God? That's what we should know. What was the name that Adam called God? So first we would address Adam's journey with God. Adam's journey with the Lord. So that's the first point I would want to address under the antediluvian head. Amen.